The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and happy Sunday. It is a beautiful July afternoon here in Indianapolis. This is Sammy Jacobs from Hoosier Huddle. Welcome to the official start of the 2016 Hoosier Huddle podcast for the 2016 football season. I'll be joined by my co-host, TJ Inman. We're going to go over the top 25. Today we're using Athlon's top 25 just because it's a list that we both have in front of us. We wanted to go over their top 25, see where we would put our teams in it. We'll also have two other podcasts this week, one coming tomorrow evening, one on Wednesday evening, to go over the Big Ten East and the Big Ten West and do our previews for that as well. Just before we start, before TJ comes on, I did have the pleasure to go up to the Big Ten officiating clinic up in Chicago yesterday afternoon and morning. It was an eye-opening experience in terms of it really humanized the referees and really shows you how much work they put in, that they are discussing new ways to improve refereeing, how they're evaluated, and all of that stuff. So I will have a little bit more of that on that later. But right now, I want to welcome TJ Inman into the show. How are you, TJ?
I'm doing great. It's a gorgeous day here in Indiana. Mid-July, so we're definitely starting to not just think about football, as we always do that, but it's actually starting to be realistic that camp is just around the corner.
Yeah, camp is just around the corner. It's about probably a month, 3 weeks away. Media days are coming up July 26th, 25th, and 26th. IU goes on the 26th, so it's right around the corner. Our countdown is at 53 days today. So if you are keeping exact track, it's about 53 days, 3 hours, and 28 minutes. But TJ, let's go over. We're using the Athlon Sports previews top 25. Let's go through some of the teams you think are overrated, underrated, and where we see, maybe some of IU's opponents fall in the top 25. What are your initial thoughts from Athlon's top 25?
Just real quick, my initial thought, you can get the Athlon Preview Magazine through a link on our site. So do that if you want to have a good college football preview magazine. It's a really fun read. Get you through the summer here. Top five, they had Alabama, FSU, Ohio State, Clemson, Michigan. Out of those five teams, look, Alabama lost a ton, but it's really hard to argue having them as the number one team in the country. Until somebody proves otherwise, I don't disagree with having them up there. Somebody's got to knock them off the mountain, and so far that hasn't happened, obviously. So of those five teams, I think Ohio State's the only one that I would disagree with. I understand the logic behind it. It's kind of the same logic that you have with Alabama, that they are proven under Urban Meyer to be one of the five best programs in the country. That's not a fact, but it's hard to argue with. And I do agree that they are one of the five best programs, but I look at all they have to replace, and I look at the unknowns that they're replacing them with. I think Ohio State's going to be good. I do not think they're the third best team in the country, and I definitely don't think they're the third best team in the country right now. They might end up playing like it come December, when those ultra talented guys that are stepping in, when they have some experience and seasoning under them. But right now, I really don't think they're up there among the top five. I probably wouldn't even say they're in the top 10 right now if I were making my own poll.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see Clemson, who was last year's runner-up, be below Ohio State at 4. Now, it's not much, but the thinking there, they lost a lot well. But the similarities, both teams, they return a veteran quarterback who's very, very good with Clemson, and, with Deshaun Watson, and Ohio State with J.C. Barrett. But, you know, Clemson might have a more manageable schedule. They have a more manageable schedule. They're playing in the ACC. You know, they have to play Florida State, which is tough. I don't have their schedule right in front of me, but, you know, they're at Florida State, which I think in the last almost basically 10 years, the winner of that matchup has represented the ACC in the or the Coastal in the ACC championship game. But my thing with Ohio State is, you know, this could be an Ohio State team that loses two or three games. They have to go to Oklahoma the third week of the season, which, you know, IU's not playing that week, so I'll be locked into that game and all that. It's one of the better things about the early bye week this year is that game. And they also have to travel to Michigan State. Now, Michigan State comes, I believe it's the second to last game of the year before the Michigan game. So who knows what Michigan State will look like. They're breaking in a new quarterback as well. But they've got some pieces, and playing up at Michigan State's very tough. And then you all know that the game at the end of the year, Ohio State, Michigan, last year, Ohio State put a whooping on Michigan, and you know Harbaugh's not going to forget that. And Michigan, who they have coming in at 5, I think that's the right spot for Michigan, maybe a little lower just because they haven't had their quarterback figured out, although it really looks like John O'Korn has the talent, has the tools to be, I would think, better than Rudock. He had, you know, a better freshman year than Rudock, really had a career at Iowa, but, you know, he was playing at Houston. Rudock is Iowa, where they don't really throw the ball that much. So, you know, you'll know that game last year is going to be in the back of Harbaugh's mind. I could see Ohio State getting tripped up there as well. So there's potential for two or three losses there. Going on down, TJ, we're talking about Tennessee at 7 and LSU at 9. To me, I think those teams got to be flip-flop. Now, I know Tennessee has a lot of talent coming back. It's, you know, they've had some good recruiting classes under Butch Jones. They had 9 wins last year. They put a hurting on Northwestern in a bowl game. But a lot of this is Tennessee for real. They're playing in the SEC East, which has been down the last couple years. And so what is the real Tennessee? Yeah, and it is still down. You know, you still got, you know, Florida is coming off a rough year. Not a rough year, but they got shellacked by Michigan in a bowl game. South Carolina is down. Georgia is going through a coaching change. And then you have, of course, Vanderbilt and Kentucky as well, who are SEC powers. So, you know, what's Tennessee going to do? I think LSU you know, we'll have our playoff picks out before Big Ten Media Days, but LSU is a team. They get Alabama at home. I think they get most of their bigger games at home. They return the all-world running back in Leonard Fournette. The big question is, do they get the quarterback play? So that's my take on the top 10. I think some guys should be flip-flopped. I really think fans need to keep an eye on LSU dethroning Alabama. You know, Alabama deserves to be number one. They've become a dynasty in a sport where it's very, very, very difficult to become a dynasty. And maybe this is the year. Alabama has to go to Death Valley and face that team who's going to be fired up.
If it's going to happen, I'll jump in there. Sorry. If it's going to happen, it's going to be this year. LSU has the pieces in place. Really, the one exception is Brandon Harris, which the experience is there. He's playing under the same system again as they kept Cam Cameron as offensive coordinator. You know, with mixed reaction from fans. I think that some were pleased that there's not going to be transition there. I think that others were dismayed that Cam Cameron was coming back. But they did keep him on, so Brandon Harris has that as an advantage. They don't have just Leonard Fournette. They've got pretty much every receiver coming back, and it's a talented receiver core, even though it doesn't look like it at times. They've got depth at running back with a good backup, plus their third back. I'm not entirely sure how to say his last name. Guice, is that Darius Guice? Guice? I don't know exactly how to pronounce it, but Darius Guice, he had a really good season last year when he did get the ball, which wasn't all that much, but his yards per carry were up there. So it's not just Leonard Fournette. I mean, this team can bludgeon you to death with that running game. They ran for the second highest yards per carry in the country. They return 18 starters. I don't see any reason why they are not among the top five teams. I guess the only reason is that in the same division as Alabama, and that there's a question at quarterback, but a lot of teams have questions at quarterback, including Alabama. So I don't really know why LSU is down there at the 9 spot. I think they're pretty vastly underrated, and as a little spoil, I guess, to things to come, I do have them as one of my four playoff teams, which will probably look really stupid when Alabama beats them in some, 20-6 bludgeoning or something, and LSU fans get outraged over Les Miles again. But for now, that's my thinking. But we'll move on to 11 through 15. You're kind of an interesting group of teams here. Washington, Stanford, Michigan State, UCLA, and Houston. Of those five, what are a couple of them that stand out to you? Obviously, Washington, kind of a newcomer to the polls after a few, down years. And this is a program that has a very proud tradition, but hasn't really been up at the heights of preseason number 11 for quite some time.
Yeah, well, Washington's like a team like Tennessee where, they brought in a new coach in Peterson. He's recruited well. And they play in the Pac-12, so their schedule is good. But can you trust them to win that big game, to get over the hump? I think 11, maybe a little overrated, but, you have Stanford there too, but they lose their quarterback. So you could flip-flop them.
And a lot of linemen,
too. I think, and Stanford loses a lot of pieces, but they do bring Christian McCaffrey back. And all of that. But, 11 teams, usually 11 through 15 are, we know they're good, but they haven't, it's where Tennessee belongs. We know they're good. We know they're going to compete well and win some big games, but can they get over that hump? And I think every one of these teams has questions. And, you see Baylor in there as well. I think the magazine came out before the whole Baylor Art Briles thing. So I don't know, Baylor talented-wise, if Art Briles was back this year and they didn't have all the drama and controversy down there going on, maybe they're a team that does live up to number 14 or higher. But, Baylor, if they hit a bump in the road, how are these kids going to react? They're playing for a new coach. Who knows how they're going to react to more adversity on the field. Houston's in there as well at 16, which is probably the lowest I've seen them in some of these rankings. Some people have them in the top 10 or even higher, at 11 as well. Houston's interesting. We'll know right off the bat if they're the real deal. I think Oklahoma, they open up with Oklahoma. And we'll see right then and there if they're ready to play. But that game's at NRG Stadium in Houston. I expect a 50-50 crowd, maybe more Houston people. But that'll be a big-time atmosphere, big-time game for them to show what they've got coming off a great year last year. And then you get down into 17 through 25, which, you take flyers on teams that have had good traditions, have had good recruiting classes and good players, coming back in their too deep. But, you look at Georgia, how are they going to react to a new coach? TCU without Trevon Boykin as well. Louisville always finds their way into the top 25. You know, is this the year that they make a jump? Iowa, I'm the jury's out on Iowa for me at 20. They have Iowa at 20. You know, was last year a fluke? And kind of opens up the questions after the bowl season when they got hammered by Stanford and they lost to Michigan State, who got hammered by Alabama. Just how good or bad is this Big Ten West? And, you know, Iowa 20, it's right at that spot where, you know, we don't know. We're going to put them in there based on last year's stuff. They're an okay team. They've got some solid pieces, but nothing stands out. And, you know, that's Iowa football in a nutshell. They're good. They're great at what they do, but they're no real superstars. I think they lose their deep threat, Trayvon Smith, or Tavon Smith, and, you know, Jordan Kanziri graduated as well. So, you know, where do they fall? And then, you know, you have Florida in there. Florida's always in the top 25. How are they? They don't have a quarterback. What's their quarterback situation? North Carolina, who turned some heads last year and was essentially a win or two away from making that college football playoff, actually a play away if they had recovered an onside kick that was called back. So maybe, you know, they against Clemson in the ACC title game. So maybe they could have, you know, taken that game into overtime or something. Then always USC, Oregon is a team that people are interested in at 24, and Oklahoma State rounds out the top 25. So those usually 20 through 25 are teams that have had good traditions coming off of solid seasons where they have a good coach who has recruited well. What are your feelings, you know, from that, you know, from 16 to 25 team?
Sure. Yeah, I think TCU, I think that they are a very, very interesting team because they've been so offensive heavy the past couple of years. Last year's defense really due to a significant number of injuries. They lost a ton of starters to injury for significant portions of the season. They get those guys back, plus the young guys that played last year give them experience depth. Yeah, they lost Boykin. They also lost some from their receiver core. Kenny Hill comes in as a transfer from Texas A&M. Who knows what to expect with him? And you also don't know for sure if he's going to be the starter. Sawyer is also an option for them there. But, they feel really good. And I know Gary Patterson has talked about he thought last year's defense could have been pretty good. And he thinks this year's defense can be really good if they can stay healthy. And it'd almost be impossible not to be healthier than they were last year. So I'm interested to see what TCU does. I understand why they are at where they are. I think it's very possible that they outperform expectations and give Oklahoma a run for their money in the Big 12. Oklahoma, I believe, has to go to Fort Worth. So that'll be interesting. I understand why Michigan State is where they are. I understand where Iowa is where they are. You know, Iowa bringing back, just talking Big Ten teams, Iowa bringing back a couple of stars, Desmond King, as well as their quarterback. I think you summed up Iowa pretty well. We don't really know if the pieces that they plug in, recruiting-wise, they're not recruiting at the 19th-ranked program level over the past 4 or 5 years. So are the guys that are the depth pieces of last year's team, do they come in and kind of replace what they lost? They lost some along the line. They lost some definitely on defense. But they do have some players that I really like, including Josie Jewell at linebacker. I really don't know what to expect from them, but I would say they probably have 5 or 6 wins pretty much locked up based on their Big Ten schedule. Again, it's not that hard. When you're in the West, you've got some not guaranteed wins by any means, but yeah, especially with I think Wisconsin's in for a down year, so you've kind of take them out of the Big Ten West race. I think it's kind of a two-team race between them and Nebraska. I think Nebraska beats them out, but Iowa's probably going to stumble into 8 or 9 wins if they're competent by their standards. So I understand why they are where they are, a team that I think is underrated, somewhat, I would say probably 7 or 8 spots underrated is Oregon. I don't think people appreciate how good Royce Freeman is as a running back. I put him up there just below the class of Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, and Dalvin Cook. I think he's right there as the 4th best back in the country, and I don't think the gap is all that big. And then there's a couple guys behind him that also are averaging like 6 or 7 yards a carry. And then, they didn't have a running threat at quarterback last year. Vernon Adams, when he got into the groove of the offense, Oregon was playing at a top 10 level. They lost a huge lead in the bowl game because Vernon Adams went down. They bring in another FCS transfer, Dakota Prukup. He's a running threat that Vernon Adams was not as good as a passer as Adams was, but it brings the running element back into the quarterback position for them, which we know they're comfortable with. And I think their defense is going to be quite a bit better with Brady Hoke stepping in there. Did he turn out to be a good head coach in Michigan? No, he didn't. But I think he can be a good defensive coordinator in the Pac-12. And Oregon's defense does not have to be great. They just have to be adequate for them to have a season that places them much higher than the 20s in the Pac-12. Plus, they're hosting their big games. They're hosting Stanford. They're hosting Washington. I could see them jumping up and winning the Pac-12 North when a lot of people haven't pegged 3rd in that division. So that's what I think about that group. I understand why teams are placed where they are. I don't think there's any outrageous, teams up there just because of reputation. I get these picks. I think it's a good poll, a good preseason poll. Definitely generates some good conversation. But I do think that both Oregon and TCU are a little bit underrated, for my opinion.
Yeah, TCU definitely has to get over the loss of Boykin and Oregon.
Yeah.
I would call Oregon disappointing last year. Maybe that's carrying over into this year's poll. But, TJ, let's take a look at where the rest of the Big Ten fell in the rankings of 128. You mentioned Nebraska. They came in at 31. They're going to be better than Tommy Armstrong, who's a senior. He has been turnover prone in the past. So maybe this is the year he turns around. They return Jordan Westerkamp, a bevy of running backs who have been pretty solid as well. And the defense was young last year and now have gotten seasoned and could become more of a defense they're used to seeing at Nebraska. Wisconsin comes in at 33.
They are loaded. They're loaded at wide receiver. I really, really think they could be the best wide receiver group in the Big Ten if Tommy Armstrong can be, like you said, a little bit less turnover prone, take better care of the ball. Just get the ball to your weapons. You don't need to make every play every time. Sometimes it's okay to just take the down and maybe scramble for a yard or two instead of trying to force it, or even take a sack instead of trying to force it. And this is the first time that Tommy Armstrong is going to have the same offensive coordinator for a second straight year. So it's the first time he'll be under the same system in his career at Nebraska for an offseason. So maybe that helps him out. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe. And Pearson L is another wide receiver who's back from injury, who's a very dynamic player. Coming into 33 is Wisconsin. We mentioned Wisconsin. Wisconsin has a very, very tough schedule. Gone are the taxis that they had played in the crossover games. I think now they bring on Michigan State and Ohio State as well as Michigan, I believe. So we'll go through their schedule here in a second. But they're a team that is talented. They return who's their running back?
Corey Clement,
who's very, very good. But this is a team that could miss a bowl because they pick up Michigan State, Michigan, and Ohio State, and they're at both Michigan and Michigan State, at Iowa, and at Northwestern. And they get Ohio State at home. Plus, they open up at Lambeau Field against LSU. So that's a pretty – as tough a schedule as you could get for Wisconsin. It's no longer are they playing, Hawaii and Troy and, you know, what other teams that they played in. They've gotten better by playing, you know, one of these better teams every year. But it's no longer the traditional Wisconsin schedule with four patsies to open up the season and then, you know, that Big Ten West schedule. So Wisconsin at 33, that's a team that has enough talent to, you know, they have talent to win the Big Ten West, but, you know, they have to travel to Michigan, Michigan State, and play Ohio State at home and LSU. So this is a team that could, you know, if it really all goes wrong, could finish 4-8, 5-7. But really be on paper better than that record. Next up, Penn State at 39. I think this is a little overrated, although they have Saquon Barkley and a good running game. There's question marks at quarterback with Trace McSorley. You know, great, he had a nice bowl game. But, you know, what does that mean? It was a Georgia team that was going through a transition. You know, were they really that good? You know, we'll see. It's one game. You know, one game does not make somebody's career. So they also have to rebuild their defensive line, which was outstanding last year. You know, they said that the year before, Carl Nassib came in and became an All-American. So can they do that again? Are they going to be faced with, you know, this talk of James Franklin being on the hot seat and going if they start struggling and how they deal with that? After Penn State at 39 is Northwestern at 44. I think this is the right spot for them with Thorsten coming back and Justin Jackson, who I know you're very high on TJ, and we have been too as a group as a whole. We like the players that Northwestern has on offense. If Thorsten can become a better passer, he was not a good passer last year. He threw for under 2,000 yards. You know, I think it was seven touchdowns to 9 interceptions or 9 touchdowns to 11 interceptions. But
very
he was a redshirt freshman. Yes, he was not the most efficient quarterback. So, you know, their defense is very good. They could make a run at the Big Ten West title.
I mean, they might have the best offensive and the best defensive player in the conference. They might.
Yes.
And that's incredibly
odd
to say.
Yes, and that defensive player is Anthony Walker, a linebacker, who had, I believe, 122 tackles last year. They also have Matthew Harris at corner, who had 4 interceptions, who's a very, very nice player. Next up at 55 is Indiana. They fall in the group where they should be. They fall ahead of Kentucky and Vanderbilt, ahead of NC State and Minnesota, and right in that group with Duke, Cincinnati, Temple, you know, teams that are solid teams, bowl teams, but don't have the tradition of some of these other teams like a BYU or a Penn State or a Pittsburgh. That seems about right. They're at 60, and we have a couple minutes, so I'm just rattling these off, TJ. At 60 is Minnesota. Mitch Leidner, for whatever reason, Mel Kiper thinks he's a first-round pick. I don't know what planet he's been watching football on.
For real?
I'm not joking. It's not April Fool's Day. He thinks he's a first-round talent, so I don't know, you know, what planet he goes to when it's not draft season, but apparently Mitch Leidner is a first round talent in his book, but he's, you know, he has improved and Minnesota has a good running back in, I'm blanking on his name now, but they
Shannon
have a good
Brooks.
Running back. They're deep. Yeah. Shannon Brooks, who had a monster game against Purdue, but you know, this Minnesota team, again, new head coach, they're going to have a new identity on offense. Can Leidner improve to become – I don't think he'll become a first-round NFL draft pick, but he could, you know, be in the discussion to be drafted. And I think with his size and his athletic ability, he could be a very serviceable Big Ten quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, if he plays like a first rounder, they'll win the West. I mean,
he's a very big athletic quarterback. If he play, he would have to set the world on fire if he was going to be a first round pick. But if he does, look out for Minnesota. Coming in at 66 is Maryland. I thought this was really high for Maryland. I know they've recruited well the last year, but they are coming into a coaching change. We saw that quarterback situation last year, and it wasn't good. According to Kuiper, they might be drafted too if you're going Mitch Leisner in the first round. But, you know, Peyton Hills and Caleb Rowe, if they could get them together, that they'd make a nice 1-2 punch at quarterback. But 66, coming off a coaching change, coming off a very, very disappointing year, 66 might be a little high. Illinois is at 74. I don't know if that's a Lovie Smith. They're talented. Again, another coaching change with a coach that's coming from the NFL who hasn't been a head coach in college, but has drummed up the intention. But Wes Luntz is very good. They did lose Mikey Dudak again. With a knee injury for the year, which you feel bad for the kid because this is 2 years in a row, and he was a terrific player as a freshman. And we'll see what they do in the West. Rutgers at 87. I think Purdue is at like 112. I don't know. I can't even find them.
I don't think
they're at 95. Oh, they're above Kansas, so that's good. Kansas.
I don't think Purdue is that awful.
No, Purdue at 95. We'll see what they do. They have David Blow. They have Elijah Sinclair coming in, or Sindelar coming in, and they have the wild card running back with Markel Jones.
Good enough to. I think he's good enough to get them in the top 90 at least. I don't know. I mean, they stink, so it's kind of pointless to quibble over 90 or 100, but whatever. They're not good again.
Yeah, they are the second lowest rated FBS or Power 5 team, I believe. Kansas is the lowest ranked at 99, Purdue's at 95. But, you know, it's a Purdue
team. Keep getting those checks, Hazel.
Yeah, who knows? This team, they'll probably beat Eastern Kentucky. They have a tough non-conference schedule with Nevada and Cincinnati coming in as well. Who aren't slouch programs. But, you know, it's how long does Darryl Hazel last? If they get off to a 1-5 start, is he still going to be the coach? Or are they going to, you know, try and cut bait early, get some of these new people coming in the athletic department regime and find one? Or is this, you know, if they go 1-5 and he's still there, is this team just going to, you know, throw it in? They've had three terrible years under Hazel, and this will be the fourth that, you know, losing takes a toll on you. And losing for 4 years in a row, these seniors, some of these fourth-year guys haven't beat Indiana yet. And that's very rare for Purdue. So, you know, it's how they're going to react. The fan base will be very quick to turn if they haven't already. Eastern Kentucky might, you never know. They just brought in Wojtek, who was the quarterback from Pitt, who you was interested in. He decided to go to Eastern Kentucky. So that might be a better game than people expect. So Purdue rounds out the Big Ten at 95. And you know, it's a shame that they're so bad. But at the same time, it has given IU a leg up in the state. I think it's created more IU football fans and has gotten people more into the IU-Purdue football rivalry than it has in the past, where you just write it off as it's a drinking weekend and Purdue's going to win. And, you know, win or lose, you know, we still booze is the motto. But, TJ, that does it for the preseason rankings. We'll be back on tomorrow evening. We'll do the Big Ten West tomorrow. and we'll do the Big Ten East on Wednesday evening. That way, we'll finish up with IU's division, see where we think they might land, who will win the division, each division, and go through team by team, see if there are any surprises.
Yeah, we're going to have a fun week of podcasts, and from now until the season kicks off, we'll have a whole lot of content that's going to get you prepared, we hope, for the season as much as possible, and help get all of us through these last 53 days until IU season kicks off. It'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, 53 days. Keep coming back for content. We have previews on our opponents right now. As camp gets to start going, we'll do our position previews for IU. And we want to see how people have improved from spring, the end of spring practice, to the beginning of fall camp. So we'll get those out. We have our countdown. It's at 53 days. Go read about incoming freshman Khalil Bryant. And we'll be back tomorrow. Have a good day, TJ.
Everyone tomorrow. Thanks, guys.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card.
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, But Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.